Okay, let's turn it back on. There we go. Come on in, kids. This is the final message. This is it. Yeah, six. No more get your wings. Maybe it'll be get your claws next week. I don't know, or get your yayas or yayas. For those of you parachuting in, I've been doing a six-part message on, it's called Get Your Wings. This is Get Your Wings 6, and we're all training you to be pilots. The whole series is based on Isaiah 40:31, which says, even kids, young people, get tired, but those that wait upon the Lord, now, wait is a word that's got to be explained, because people think wait, well, you're just like waiting in the dentist's office listening to terrible music. My dentist, oh my goodness, like I got a root canal work done and some stuff. I got a new dentist, and in his office is like when you wait there is cable TV, and they got these women's morning talk shows that, oh my goodness, like please, oh, you know, I figured it out. Why the TV's so bad? Because when you go in and get the root canal drilling, it's not as bad as the TV in the waiting room, okay? And anyway, wait like a waiter. A good waiter waits, serves, kind of is attentive. You wait on the Lord. Because those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Will run and not be weary. Will walk. And they won't faint. I just got this mental image. Forgive me. Oh, and you guys forgive me too much. I'm always doing stupid stuff. But I saw sometimes when I go to bed at night, I'll watch these crazy things that are on YouTube. Okay. And I watched a clip of the latest Avengers movie. Okay. And Thanos, he's the bad guy. Okay. And he's got the Infinity Gauntlet. And he's finally got all the gemstones. And he puts that Infinity Gauntlet on. Okay. And so it's a real mental picture. You know, he puts Fenny gun and you see him do this. Now he's got power. And when I saw that, I thought, that's almost like the Holy Spirit, you know, like your renewed strength. Yeah! Okay, here we go, man. I don't know. I think like that.
Yes, we know, John. We pray for you a lot.
So that's, and the wings part of it. Get your wings. The mount up of wings is eagles. The wings, we've equated it with worship, okay? The wings we have is the ability to worship. Worship's a broad term. Singing is part of it, but boy, that's just such a small part of it. Anything you do can be an act of worship. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. When you bring in Christ, when you see it as the example I use all the time is when I worked for the Ford Motor Company building 351 engines in Windsor. That's about the boringest job you can do. All day. And, you know, I'm there. Jesus, I'm 17 years old. I'm making as much as a father of three, and I'm living at home. This is amazing. I can't believe it. I do that dumb work, you know, like you don't have to have high school diploma, and I'm making all this money. It's crazy. I'm spending it like, you know, unbelievable. Paid for my Bible college, and God, you know, like these guys, God, he's got, you know, typical factory people. God, I'm praying for all the guys all over the place, okay? And me doing this boring stuff, I could have gone crazy. But anywhere the Lord is a party. If he really has his way, okay, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fun.
Doesn't say that in the Bible.
Yeah, I know. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The Greek word is eleutheria. We don't have an English word for it. And sometimes it's where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. And I did some research on that word about 10 years ago. We do have an English word for it, but the translators are too nervous putting it in there. The best word we've got for eleutheria is fun.
That's not theologically accurate.
Yes, it is! Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's fun when he has his way. But you know what happens when, you know, like, you know, important people want to control everything and, well, we can't have that in our church and all this other stuff. And I don't like, you know, it doesn't matter what I like. It's what God likes, okay? And you've probably seen really boring, dumb stuff in churches, and you've seen goofy stuff, and I've seen more than all of you put together probably, okay? But I can't get away from that word that says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fun, there's joy, there's, and if it's the good news, if it transforms lives and nations, it stands to reason that there's probably some good stuff there. And people go, wow, yeah, I'll have some of that. I have difficulty believing that people, you know, come to the place where, you know, I need more boring ritual and I need to listen to more lectures. Yeah, that'll change my life. You know? And Christ Church, and I'm doing a lot of prep here because we need to restate why we're here all the time. We are not about coming together on Sunday morning, okay? We are not about coming together on Sunday morning. This is not, God did not fill us with the Holy Spirit so we could put on a show every Sunday morning, okay? We come together to get blessed by each other because we're carrying the presence of the Lord. We get infused with the Holy Spirit. There's a dynamic of people coming together where good things happen. The Church of the Living God has its greatest impact, and it's at its power, at its greatest power, when it's being the Church of God outside of the building. I got nobody with our t-shirts on this morning. Well, that's too bad, okay? Our t-shirts on the back say the church has left the building. The church has never been a building. In fact, I thank God we don't have a building. It's cool, because it doesn't get the attention. Jesus is supposed to get the attention. This is Christ Church, okay? I've been in churches where the building is so impressive, but who's Jesus? Wow, what a great building. Man, wow. All to God's glory. Bull. God's glory. You know, give me a break, you know. Dedicated to the glory of God, you know. We had to cancel 75 programs and fire all kinds of pastors, and we went into debt for 30 years. All to the glory of God. I'm being cynical. I shouldn't be that way, okay? I got that off my chest. I feel better, okay? Back to get your wings. Get your wings, part 6. I'm going to tell you a story. Story time is a good story. As soon as I start reading it, some of you veterans are going to go, oh, yeah, this is a good one, okay? It's a good story. I don't think I've ever told this story or gone to this biblical story since I've been, you know, ministering to you guys in this church and in the last church, okay? In fact, it's been, oh, man, it's been 20 years maybe since I've gone through this story. So let's have some fun. Okay, Isaiah 40:31. I got ahead of myself. That's the one if you want to write it down. Okay, it's a good one to know. Okay, 2 Samuel 6:12. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. I got a whole sermon on that you might get sometime. Okay, it's called A House for God. They didn't know where to put the Ark. Okay. Because remember, they put the ark on a cart, and they didn't do it the biblical way. Stupid David. Okay? He knew what the biblical way was. He had to put it on a cart. And Uzziah reaches out to steady it when the cart stumbles, and God kills him right there. That'll ruin your party, eh? Everybody's singing and dancing. The band's playing. Guy says, oh, there you go. David? Yeah, I saw it. Oh, boy. What do we do now? And so they take the ark, and they put it in Obed-Edom's house. And I got a whole sermon on why they put it in Obed-Edom's house. And everything that happens in Obed-Edom's house for the next 3 months is blessed. I don't know, he won the lottery, or I don't know, his cows had more calves, or whatever, okay? Like, blessing, blessing, blessing. So that's really cool. I'm just illustrating that when you read the Bible, it is loaded with stuff. Every verse has got like a sermon itself, and I'm giving you more verses than I usually do this morning, but there's a lot of stuff happening here. So David went to bring up the ark of the house from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Now remember, 3 months earlier, they had just killed a guy. So I'm sure they went back to the books. Okay, how do we do this right? We got to put the poles. The guy's got to carry on the poles. You don't do it on a cart. You know, like, so they got everything down pat. Okay? And they're ready now. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, and I'm sure they probably took 6 steps, and then they sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. I'm sure there was, okay, let's see if we're doing this right. Well, just to be sure, let's have a sacrifice, because the guy got killed 3 months ago doing this, okay? So I'm sure they wanted to get it right. Now, when David realized, okay, this is working, we're doing this right, all right, this is, something happens here. Wearing a linen ephod, that's like an undershirt or whatever, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. There he is, down, turn around, pick a pail of cotton, you know, like, okay, he's just going for it. He's dancing with all his might. He's very athletic. We know that, okay? This guy with a sling and Goliath and soldiers and, you know, he's in shape, okay? So he's not just, you know, like, he's really, I can't dance. I'd pull something, okay? So, I couldn't even dance when I was healthy. But I am healthy when I was younger, okay? Wearing a linen ephod, dancing with all his might. He's got it right. He knows, okay, we're right with God now. And he's really getting excited, okay? He's dancing with all his might while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. Okay? da-da-da-da-da-da, ark. I don't know what they were singing, but there's trumpets and it's loud. And as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, that's Jerusalem, Michael, okay, that's David's wife, okay, that's King Saul's daughter, you know, so royalty, okay. Michael, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing to the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They've even got an emoji for it on your iPhone. It's that yellow symbol, and the eyes are looking like this, you know, up in the air like that. Okay, that's what she's doing, okay? She's like, what are you doing? Okay, like, you know, I know how to embarrass my wife, okay? Man, I've been there so many times where, you know, okay? So but more than just embarrassing, she's despising him, you know? You look like a goof, David, okay? So let's go on. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it on its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. That's a tabernacle. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. You know, just party, like probably thousands of people watching this go on, okay? This is Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and everything rolled in one. This is the biggest thing to happen in the country of Israel. I mean, the Ark of the Covenant was everything. Everything. That was a symbol of their victories and everything. So the whole country would have been there for this occasion, okay? Okay, after he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread. Boy, that's great, eh? We got a loaf of bread and a cake of dates from the king. Isn't that awesome? You know, it'd probably like, I don't know, would be like being sent home with a door prize. I don't know. To each person, the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their home. They got free food. It was great, okay? When David returned home to bless, time to go home, okay? You gotta go home. Time to go home to bless his household. So he's going to go. Look, he's still looking at you. Cool, eh? Like he's got this attitude of, you know what? I am just pumped. I'm just going to go home and bless my household. I'm going to give them a charge. Michael, remember, out the window, daughter of Saul came out to meet him and said, remember, this guy's higher than a kite. This is one of the happiest days of his reign. He finally feels, okay, the Ark of the Covenant is where it should be. It's no telling what God can do through our country now. He is so excited. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. How's that for a wet blanket, eh? You know? David said to Michael, this just gets kind of nasty here, okay? It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father. Oh, that's a dig, eh? Man alive, you're just like inviting it right there. Whoa. Or anyone from his house. And by the way, I know you're from his house. Oh, man. When he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel, I will celebrate before the Lord. Now, look at this. He's pushing it. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Mike, look at this. And Michael, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Okay? Beauty was a nice thing to have in that day, but if you didn't have kids, you were nothing. Okay, that's about the worst thing that could happen to a woman in Israel. No kids. She's barren for the rest of her life. Now, some people would hear that, well, that's not fair. Yeah, from my understanding, it's not very fair either. But he's driving home a point here. This is a powerful, scary, sober warning of what can happen. Listen, what can happen when human tastes and perspectives reject or ridicule childlike simplicity in worship. Okay? And I'm not just talking about singing now. We've learned over the last 5 weeks, when I say childlike simplicity in worship, living our lives in a simple way to worship God. Okay? Like loving people and going the extra mile and living the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, 7, 8. That's our acts of worship. When you reject the simplicity of that, or you make excuses, and we can always make excuses. One of the most creative things in the world is people when they start justifying their own sin. Oh, you can always justify your own sin, your own laziness. Okay? Always. There's always a good reason to not be righteous. Always. There's always a good reason to not be Christ-like. But that's not what our Lord, okay, this church here, his church, that's not what he called us to. Okay? He didn't call us to that. But this is what happens when you reject that. What's the result? Barrenness. Unfruitfulness. unproductive. We, you know, it's part of our culture. We like to look cool, don't we? You know? Spiritual barrenness, that's a high price to pay for fitting in. That's a high price to pay for looking, for being cool, don't you think? I've told you this before. There's no cool in the Bible. Well, there is, but they don't call it cool. It's in Revelation 3, 16, 18, around there. It says, you're lukewarm, and I'm going to hork you out of my mouth. He doesn't say that about anybody. Jesus doesn't say that. I mean, you know he said some pretty nasty things to the Pharisees. You're of your father the devil. You're a brood of vipers. You're whitewashed stones. But he never said to the Pharisees, you guys make me puke. Because the same thing. Who does he say that of? People who want to be cool or lukewarm. Well, I have seen this. Oh, my goodness. Now I won't go there. I've seen this in churches all my life, you know, where the image is so much more important than being obedient to the Lord. And even sometimes the people that are being obedient to the Lord maybe don't fit in that well, okay? They kind of get ridiculed. They kind of get despised. There's a real Michael-like spirit there. Who do you think you are, you know? Fear of extremism. Oh, I got to get this slide up there. Don't get shocked, okay? Any kids in here? No kids, okay. Okay, fear of extremism. Go on YouTube and look up Pentecostal snake handlers. Oh my goodness. How many have ever seen those videos on YouTube? Have you ever? Yeah. Bob, isn't that crazy stuff? Like, I mean, some of you that never heard of this before, I'm not even going to tell you. You go and see it, okay? People, this happens in churches that get healthy and get growing, okay? They're so afraid of childlike simplicity in following the Lord that their fear is usually based on, oh, we don't want to go too far, don't want to get extreme, don't want to turn into a charismaniac, don't want to, you know, like, and goofy stuff happens in churches, oh my goodness, okay? So this fear of extremism and the consequences of maybe being obedient to God like he's told us to be obedient to him, how do you respond to that? Well, you don't respond to it by, you know, cowering into some pseudo-dignified, sedate, lifeless ritual. Okay? That's how most followers of Christ respond to it. That's not the way to respond, okay? Or some compromising pseudo-spirituality that, you know, just give me enough so that I can maintain my dignity. Oh my goodness. You know? Just, I want enough of God that, you know, enough to get in, but not enough for people to think I'm crazy. I conquered that years ago. Really? Okay? Spiritual barrenness, emptiness, that's a way too high a price to pay for, well, I gotta be in charge. Back to the line. There's the people that pray, thy will be done, and the ones to whom God says, okay, have it your way. What's your way? Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but leads to death. And the one that almost every one of you know, and some of you got it up in your houses on plaques. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. And he will make your path straight. Okay? That's our way. 1 Corinthians 13, most of you know it. Okay, if people that are married here, do you remember 1 Corinthians 13 being quoted at your wedding? Put your hand up if they did. Did you have that quoted at your wedding? Okay. Really, Heather? I didn't remember. I was so far along. And I was so scared that they were going to get us that... Huh? Yeah, we were at the same wedding. Yeah. You've been to a lot of weddings. You know that that is the most quoted Bible verse at weddings. Okay? That's the love chapter. It's good stuff. It's even people that don't follow Jesus... They read 1 Corinthians 13. Wow, that's good. That's good. Where'd you get that? The Bible. Oh, I don't know if we can have that. But even then, okay? It's the love chapter. Now, I don't think I've shown you this. Some of you already know. 1 Corinthians 14, okay, really gives meat and muscle and life to 1 Corinthians 13. Because 1 Corinthians 13 without 14 is kind of just romantic fluff, you know. You ever talk to couples that are in love? We're in love. We want to get married. Great. Well, you don't have a job. Yeah, but we're in love. You know, how are you going to pay the bills? We're in love. It doesn't matter. You're not going to school. Where are you going to live? We don't know. We're in love. You ever see people like that? Yeah, you know? Two dead cows staring at each other in a hailstorm. You know, just right out to lunch, you know? I mean, it's got a nice quality to it. It's nice to have that quote. But you need more than that. 1 Corinthians 13, in fact, 1 Corinthians 13 without the rest of the Bible, it's kind of like that. Oh, that's nice, you know? 1 Corinthians 14 is all about worship. It's all about love. It's all about church life. It really, see, if you're going to love well, if you're going to love like Jesus loved, if your love is going to be not just selfish, but love that empowers people and love that you wouldn't want to trade for any other imitation, it's got to be intelligent. It understands there's a price to be paid for commitment, understands there's a price to be paid for love, and says, you know what, I'm going to do it because it's worth it. Jesus is worth it, or my spouse is worth it, or my neighbor is worth it, or whatever. I'm going to do it. It doesn't feel that good, but real love doesn't always think about feelings. Great when you got the feelings, and often the feelings come after you engage in loving acts, but often it doesn't start with that. Often the best love starts with, I'm going to do this because it's a good thing to do, and it's what Jesus would do. And Jesus tells us to love not because, you know, he wants to make life hard for us. He knows that excitement gets unlocked when you love people. He knows that the acts of love, sacrificial love, oh, wow, that'll do things. I'm getting goosebumps already. Look at that. Stop. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. Okay? How that thrill is. Okay? It's wonderful. And he wants us walking like that. When he said, I've came that you might have abundant life. Oh, great. I'm going to win the lottery. No, you're going to learn how to love sacrificially. You're going to learn how to love because it's the right thing to do. And if you learn how to do that, you'll experience fun and abundant life and excitement like no bank book could ever give you. Okay? Talk to somebody that lives in the benefits of love. They wouldn't trade it for nothing. Oh, I would do anything for love. They know a little bit about it, but not the real deal. Okay? Okay? So this is, it talks about, and why does it talk about the church? What are you bringing the church in for? Nothing will tick you off more than church life. Nobody will hurt you like people you get connected with in church. In fact, you know what happens if you can survive church life? You get to go to heaven. It's amazing. Okay? Why? Because we learn how to love. We learn how to forgive. We learn how to put up with people. Okay? And he's empowered us to do that. So first 14, he talks about church life, okay? Really, 1 Corinthians 14 is flying lessons. Okay? Got the wings, the Holy Spirit, but you gotta learn how to fly. I'm having fun with Marvel Comics today. I couldn't resist, okay? You know, the Spider-Man movie is really cool. It's really realistic. Because when he first gets his powers, he doesn't know how to use them. Like he's flying through the air and he's stumbling, smashing into brick walls and everything. Like he looks like a total klutz. You know, you think superpowers got it together. No, okay. A great line from Marvel Comics too, okay. This is great. Oh, I should get, this is so, this could be right out of the Bible. Okay. With great power comes what? Great responsibility. I thank you God for the comic geeks in the church. Hallelujah. Okay. With great power comes great responsibility. The guy doesn't even know how to use his powers. He's so klutzy. You know, he's a real goof. And it can be like that when the Holy Spirit comes in. And he wants to give us flying lessons. In 1 Corinthians 14, that's where the flying lessons are. Okay? Love is taught in chapter 13. The love that's taught in chapter 13, that can get lost in, it can get lost in silliness. I would do anything for, oh dear. You hear all the stupid songs on the radio, you know? The God, you need an IQ of a topsoil to come up with that stuff. I mean, come on. We're talking real stuff here, okay? Chapter 14, and go home and read it. I'm not even going to go to chapter 14, but chapter 14 talks about propriety and worship. You know, how to handle speaking in tongues, how to handle love, you know, it's really good stuff. This was a riot. This was a crazy church, the church in Corinth. They were nuts. They were like, the miracle, the gospel was that it was able to spread and transform people's lives, even though the church was so messed up. Corinth was probably the most messed up church of any of them. Oh my goodness. You know what you'd say if you showed up at Corinth? Oh, I don't think this church is for me. You know, that's what they were like. Okay? And he's writing these guys, and he's correcting abuses all through 1 Corinthians 13 in love. He's like a dad to them, you know? He says, look it, you gotta, anyway, go through, read it this afternoon, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the last verse of chapter 14, it's 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says this: everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. That doesn't mean ritualistic. That doesn't mean dead. That doesn't mean sober. Because, you know, this is life. When Jesus says, I am the life, how do you take somebody who says, he doesn't even say he gives life. He says he is life. How do you take somebody who is life and make him boring? Oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding me, you know? When it's lived right, man, he's irresistible. You can't get enough of him. So when it says everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way, went to the Greek again. Ooh, that's good stuff. You know what the original? It says everything should be done in a charming and gracious way. Isn't that a nice word? Charming. You ladies love that, don't you? Oh, don't you love somebody who's charming? Now, we guys, when we meet somebody charming, we're kind of suspicious. You know? So maybe you got a better word for the guys, okay? Charming and gracious. Selfless. Humble. I love being around humble people. Oh, man. You know, I'm just comfortable around them, you know? The opposite. You know what it's like to be around arrogant people, you know, always talking about themselves, you know, and telling you how wonderful they are. And they do it in such a dignified, passive way, you know, they don't come right out and do it. They just, but I know you got to love them. I don't mean to be cynical. I know you do. Okay. But it's a little bit harder, right? It's easy to love humble people. Oh my goodness. Charming, gracious. Those are the words though. Make sure things are done in a charming and a gracious way. Ah, that's nice. I like that. When we worship, okay? There you go. When we worship. In other words, when we live out our lives with meaning and passion. When we're on the phone, when we're online, when we're engaging, when we're at work. Spiritual harmony is needed. Spiritual harmony is needed in relationships with God and each other. Because really, we're kind of like a spiritual choir. You ever heard people when they get the harmony just right? Like some of these doo-wop groups, you know? The Manhattan Transfer. That's an old band. Anybody remember the Manhattan Transfer? Okay. A vocal band. Like, whoa, harmonies are big. The Beach Boys, okay? The Beatles. Van Halen. Everybody talks about Eddie Van Halen. You know why they're so good? I mean, musically? And the only way they're good, the harmonies are unbelievable. Okay, Bohemian Rhapsody. Okay, they got a movie out now. And John, why are you using these terrible examples? Yeah, I know, but the harmony. I mean, the harmony is unbelievable. When you have spiritual harmony taking place, you know, when your actions are harmonious with your spouse, when our actions are harmonious with each other. When you look for how you can harmonize with people that don't know the Lord, how can I come alongside them so that they spiritually sound better? So that it's a nice word. I even know parents that have named their kids Harmony. You know? In fact, we got a melody right in this church here. Maybe she needs a harmony as well. Okay. We are a choir. We are a choir. So I'll give you one from 1 Corinthians 14. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn. I know I got all kinds of them. Or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church family, remember, this is not 40. I told you verse 40, which is, you know, done with gracious and charming and orderly. This is verse 26. Everything must be done so that the church, and those words are mine, family, bride, okay, I put those in. That's not the word of God. But you know in other places, the church is called the family bride, may be built up. We're doing stuff, we worship, and we're, well, why should we build up? Because when you're building up this family, and I believe God has put us together, you are strengthening yourself, okay? You are becoming stronger to be what God needs us to be. So this, you're a messed up office, you know, you're a messed up neighborhood. Like, you're not smart enough to make an impact in there, but Jesus in you and your love, oh my goodness, that it has the power to turn them inside out. It really does. Now, Gail and Francois, I'm thinking of you guys right now. You've never been here when we've done a corny hymn at the end of it, okay? And we haven't done a corny hymn. We did a couple good ones where we really, you know, like serve the Lord. But I got it before I put this one up here. this is by far and away the corniest hymn I have ever led. Okay? In fact, I have never led this hymn in my life. You know why? And Heather has been with me for almost 40 years, and she knows this. It was just too corny. There's no way I was going to lead this. I heard this hymn so many times in churches, and I go, oh, dear God. In fact, I even came up with my own lyrics. And if you get me alone, you'll hear my own lyrics, and they're quite fun. But this better be God, or otherwise, you know, well, if this isn't God, you're all wasting your time being here anyway. I started looking at the lyrics at this stupid old corny hymn, and I thought, holy smoke, that's pretty good. And I haven't sung this song 45 years, never led it, made fun of it. Oh, I've sung my version of it dozens of times, okay? And those of you that don't know it, you're going to be blessed by it because it's pretty good. It really is, okay? And if you know the song, kind of fight the temptation to make fun of it and just look at what it says, okay? And I've never led this, so if I crack on this, it's okay. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. Form part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice at each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Somebody's harmonizing. Keep doing that. From door of an orphanage to house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Am I the only one that enjoyed that? That was fun, man. That was great. Shut your eyes. Close your eyes. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this family. It's a family. God, I understood this when I was a kid. And I would talk to my friends at school, Lord God, about my church friends. And Lord, I used to call them my cousins. Because it wasn't like they were just my church friends. They were close. And I was only 6 or 7, but I knew there was a difference, God. And God, you've heard it say, Lord, we've heard it said that blood is thicker than water. And yet, Lord God, Jesus' blood that binds us together is thicker than the blood that binds us in families, Lord. It's our family. And you've given us wings, God. You've given us wings to soar, Lord, and to fly into places where people can't get normally to, and rescue. And Lord, pull people out of the fire, Lord God, and pull people out of their sin and love them into the kingdom, God. Jesus, Jesus, show us who we are in you. Show us who we can be in you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody looking around, okay? Nobody looking around. If you don't know Christ, then you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, okay? You have never given your life to Christ. You may be baptized, raised in a church, and all that other stuff. But there's never been a time in your life where you asked God to forgive you of your sins. And you asked him to help you live for him and make him Lord of your life. If you've never done that before, I always ask people at the end of the message, always. And we don't single people out. We don't embarrass people. You don't have to get up and sing the national anthem or anything like that, okay? But the Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And I'm kind of like the guy that's asking here. And if that's you this morning, I got a real cool way that's non-threatening. I'll track you down before you leave the room, and I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray that, I want to pray a prayer with you this morning to get that right in your heart and mind if that's what you want to do this morning. And to us at Christ Church, it's more important than anything. That's the starting point, okay? If you've already done it, fine, great, you know? Want to pray about something else? We can always pray in this room. That's what His house is supposed to be. A house of prayer. But if you don't know the Lord and you want to make that right this morning, put your hand up real quick right now and then put it right back down again. And I'll know and I'll make sure I get to you before you leave the room. Up real quick and down. You're not joining the church. You know, we're not taking a blood sample or anything like that. Just, you know, just getting it right with the Lord. Okay. Father, thank you for this family. Thank you for this family. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the amazing people that you've put together, Lord God. God, the amazing people, Lord God, that have caused this church to take on your character. A beautiful thing that's not like any other group in the city. Not any better, not any holier, but just unique and beautiful for you. Lord, we want to be unique and beautiful for you. And we want to make you proud. And right now, Lord God, again, we receive your Holy Spirit for that purpose, God. That's a prayer we're serious about, folks. Can you pray that with me? We all need that. Lord, we receive your Holy Spirit right now. God, your word says you're more willing to give us the Holy Spirit, Lord, than we are even to receive it, God. So, Lord, we receive your Holy Spirit for what you have for us this week. And God, you've got good stuff for us to do this week, Lord, that honors you and blesses you. And Lord, it causes us to experience your life, Lord, powerfully. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.